in Ebenezer Assembly, New York, and I was delighted to meet dear Brother John and his wife and children there. And I just asked him, and if he was coming this side, would he be able to share the word? And he right away very graciously agreed to do so. So we have John Beeson, the director of CMML, and he, as you will see, he has a passion for the Lord, for missions, and you're going to love what he has to say and share. So I just want to introduce Brother John Peaceland.
Appreciate it. Good morning. It's great to be here with you. As the Lord would have it, when my brother asked, I already had a trip to Texas. And so it was easy to say, well, in 2 months I'll be there. So got an open Sunday, and the Lord worked out the details. So glad to be here with you. I'm going to share a bit about CMML at this time, but I couldn't resist going to a passage that we're going to look at in the next section, which is Luke 24, just after the Lord's Supper, which I enjoyed immensely. It's hard to get a word in edgewise here. And so I'll take advantage of this opportunity. Luke 24, just some thoughts as I saw the Spirit of God weaving throughout the different words that the brothers brought. We started out with, behold, behold, the Lamb. Calling our attention, calling the eyes of John to look at one and recognize. And then you see in these scenes, both in 5 and in 7 Revelations, the recognition, not only seeing, but recognizing who he is and what he deserves. And in Luke 24, you know the story well of the disciples that the Lord has died, their hope is gone, and they're walking, two of them are walking on the road to Emmaus, and this man comes and speaks with them, whom we know as the Lord Jesus Christ, and he walks along with them, and he shares with them, and he starts, in verse 27 says, he begins in Moses and all the prophets and expounds to them all the scriptures concerning himself. Wouldn't you have liked to hear that message? And then he goes with them, but then I just like to focus on verse 35. And they told about the thing. So after everything has happened, they go, these two disciples go back to the other disciples and are telling the story. And they say, they told about all the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. He was known to us this morning in the breaking of the bread, was he not? Now maybe there's someone here this morning that he was not known to you. You didn't recognize him in the breaking of the bread. Maybe for you it was more like 1 Corinthians, where it says the word of the cross, the message of the cross is foolishness. And maybe you watched what we did this morning and you said, "This is crazy. I don't know what they're doing. Piece of bread and some juice. This is craziness. I don't understand what's going on here." If that was you this morning, then according to 1 Corinthians, then you are perishing. You have not believed. Oh, that today would be your day of salvation, that you might recognize and see this one, the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world. He's paid for your sins too. Would you believe in him today and join those of us that this morning recognized him in the bread? And as Peter tells us in his epistle, to those who believe, he is precious. Isn't he precious to us this morning? Sorry, that was just, I had to share. I'd like to go to one more passage before jumping into some of the CMML stuff that I'd like to share with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And as you turn there, I'll just introduce myself a little bit. Fortunately, my wife and family can't be with her. I'm glad to have Jonathan, my nephew. He's in representation of all of the family that wasn't able to come. But my wife, Ingrid, and my kids, Nathan, Abby, Russell, and Charlotte, they're a whole lot more fun than I am. They're better looking too, but unfortunately, they couldn't join me today. One of these days, they'll get out to Texas and you can meet them. I've been at CMML now for about 3 years. I was on the board for CMML before that. working for General Motors for 15 years before the Lord called us to CMML there in New Jersey to serve him in this current role. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'd like to just start out with pointing out what the Lord is doing around the world today. And he wants to do it here. Where are we? Louisville? Is that the name of the town or city that we're in? He wants to do it here in Louisville today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Lord Jesus, Paul is talking about the sufferings first, that he's gone through, some of the struggles that he's gone through in chapter 1. And then he gets down, and we won't read all of these verses, but I'd like to focus on verse 11 after he says that they've been delivered. He has been delivered from some of these struggles, trials that he's been going through. He says, verse 11, you also helping together in prayer for us. You also helping together. Oh, wait a minute, what are the Corinthians helping with? And the Corinthians aren't there. He's writing to them. He's sending them a letter. You also helping? What were they helping with? You also helping together in prayer for us. You grasp the importance of prayer in the ministry of Paul. Those prayer warriors who were afar off that were praying for him. You also in prayer for us, that thanks may be given, because now it's over, right? The suffering, he's been delivered from that suffering, and he says that now thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift, that deliverance granted to us through many. What a partnership. What a joy of working together in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is recognizing this, and he's sharing it with the Corinthians, says, just as you prayed for deliverance, the deliverance has been given to us. So now join us in thanksgiving, because we're in this together. We have been delivered. You prayed, now give thanks, because we received deliverance through many. This is a joint effort. You know, at times we look at missions and we have an individual that's out on the field and we say, wow, Brother George out on the field. Oh my goodness, isn't he a great warrior for Christ? And we forget to mention or recognize our dear sister that sits here in the pew every Sunday and throughout the week is on her knees before the Lord praying for dear Brother George. George would not be seeing the deliverance that he's seeing without the dear believer here at home praying for him. I'm not trying to diminish at all the work that the Lord's doing on the mission field, but we must recognize that missions is all of our role. We all must be engaged in mission. We have different roles to play, right? It all looks different, just like in the family, just like in the body of Christ. We all play different roles. The Lord uses each one. My little finger is different than my little toe. They look different. They function differently, but they're both vitally important to the functioning of the body. And that's what Paul is recognizing here as he shares with the Corinthians. So I'm here today with you to encourage you to play your role in the great mission that the Lord Jesus Christ is accomplishing around the world. I'm going to take this time, which I'm just watching the clock here. It looks like I've got about 30 minutes to share with you about some of the things at CMML and what the Lord's doing around the world. And then we'll jump into the Word of God in the next session. There we go. So I'd like to start with who we are organizationally. What is the vision of CMML? What are we all about? What is our focus? Advancing the spread of the gospel globally. We've been in existence for 102 years now by the grace of God. 102 years, and this has been the vision from the day one. Advancing the spread of the gospel globally. And wow, has the Lord done amazing things. I could spend all my time and all your time and be here next week and speaking about the wonderful stories of how the Lord has rescued lives on the fields around the world as the gospel has advanced. Well, how do we go about accomplishing that vision? You might say, well, so am I out on the mission field sharing the gospel? Well, at times, but the organization seeks to accomplish this vision by serving you, the local church, the U.S. Assembly, and your missionaries. And I'd just like to pause here and make sure that you understand how this works, because it's a little different than most models of missions, other missions governance boards or mission agencies. Some of them are sending organizations, they're directing agencies, and we're not an agency or a board. We're a service organization. I'll mention that here in a moment, but we serve you, the local assembly. That's what we exist for. And we serve your missionary. So as you commend a missionary to the field, we come alongside and provide some of those services that I'll mention here in a moment for both the assembly and your missionaries. So there's three areas that we serve, or that we've kind of recognized as areas of service. We serve the senders, so leadership and local assembly that comes together. You'll remember in Acts 13, as the leaders of the local church came together, and the Lord and the Holy Spirit, along with those leaders, said, "Separate these men, Paul and Barnabas, to the work of the Lord." And so they put their hands on them and they sent them out to the work that the Lord had called them to. So we serve engaged senders, senders that don't just send and walk away, senders that don't just say, "Oh, you want to go to Africa? Sure, go ahead. Call us when you're back." No, engaged senders. And there's 180 plus commending assemblies today in the U.S. That have missionaries on the field. There's 4,500 active donors that are financially supporting these individuals, and countless others. We can't count these because we're not at the throne of God counting. These are not in our system, but thousands upon thousands of those that, like in 2 Corinthians, are praying, supporting, and partnering with these missionaries as they go around the world preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where are they, you might ask? Well, that's a little bit of an eye chart for you guys out there. I'm sure you can't see the names of anything, but there's 220 units or missionary families that are out around the world today for a total of about 700 missionaries. There's 54 that have served and now are what we call refocused, so they're no longer as active. And then there's 300 plus associated missionaries or ministries that could be a hospital, a clinic, a school that we provide services to, for a total of over 600 accounts. The map shows you the darker areas are where more missionaries are, more ministries are. The lighter is where there are less, or if it's gray, then that means today there are no missionaries in those areas. This is definitely an eye chart for you, but I'll read some of the numbers to you. This is just to share with you what the enthusiastic supporters, people just like you around the United States, do on an annual basis. These are the numbers from 2022. There were $17.5 million that came in from donations and $17.7 million that went out to the field for all of the missionaries and ministries around the world. Praise the Lord for what he is doing. Well, the Lord has no limit upon his provision. And as I'll mention here in a little bit, each one of our missionaries looks to the Lord alone for provision for their needs. And day after day, month after month, we see checks and digital gifts come through, sometimes $5, sometimes $10, sometimes $50 or $100. But they all add up, and you look at a number like $17 million. $17 million. Well, for those mathematicians in the room, divide that by 600 accounts, and that's about 25,000. So some are not receiving huge amounts, but the Lord provides for every single one of their needs. None of the Lord's children have gone hungry as they serve him. Where he is guiding them, he is providing for every single step along the way. Praise the Lord for his continued provision. So what are some of the distinctives, those things that kind of set CMML apart from some other organizations that you might be familiar with? We are local church-centered. We serve you, the local church. We serve your missionaries as you commend them to the work of the Lord. That's what we see in scriptures. As we study missions throughout scriptures, especially in the book of Acts, we see examples and patterns to follow. Just like the Israelites in the Old Testament, Moses was given a vision where he saw what the tabernacle was supposed to look like. I don't know how the Lord did that, but he was given. That's what Hebrews tells us. He saw what it was supposed to look like. Then he had specific instructions, and then they went and built it. Well, the Lord has given us a mission as well. We're not building a tabernacle. We're co-workers, co-laborers with the Lord Jesus Christ as he's building his church around the world. And we see patterns and instruction in scripture, and we seek to follow those. And this is the pattern that we see. The local New Testament church is the one that sends missionaries. And so we come alongside and provide services to you, the local church. We're faith-based. As I mentioned, our missionaries live by faith. They don't go out and raise funds. They don't have to spend 3 years or 5 years, as some others do, trying to collect enough money to go out, or they have to come off the field because they don't have enough money. The Lord provides. They look to the Lord. Some of you might have read stories like a George Mueller and others that live their lives based on faith. Organizationally, we do the same thing. We do not, if you send $100 to a missionary, we don't take 10% or 15% for our operational expenses, though there are many. We take those $100 and we send them to the missionary. The missionary gets 100% of the gifts sent to them. And we also look to the Lord for provision for our needs. 102 years, brothers and sisters, 102 years where we have not missed a payment of any of our needs, because the Lord is faithful. He provides where he is guiding, and we look to him to continue to guide and provide as we seek to serve him. And then we're a service organization, as I mentioned. We exist to provide services to you that you might not be able to do yourself. A small local assembly might not have the connections with the U.S. government or with foreign governments or with large banking institutions to send funds around the world. These are all complex matters that we've been slowly working on over the last 100 years, and they're getting more and more complex, and they're becoming, as many of you know, very difficult to send funds around the world. And yet the Lord has enabled us to maintain those connections with these organizations necessary to do so, both for legal purposes as well as for financial purposes and others, as we seek to support you, the local church, as you care and oversee your commended missionaries. So what are some of the practical things of what we do? We encourage prayer. I trust that I'm doing that this morning. I trust that after today, you're encouraged to pray more for what the Lord is doing around the world. There's some resources out on the table on the entryway. Please go by and pick up any of those resources. Everything that's on the table is free for you to take. And the purpose of those resources is to encourage you to participate in the work in prayer. The handbook, which I trust many of you are familiar with, that is a prayer handbook. Every day of the month, there's different missionaries to pray for. There's a different unreached people group to pray for. So we encourage prayer for mission work. And one of the things that most people recognize us for is the distribution of gifts, as gifts are forwarded to missionaries around the world. And then we seek to encourage and stimulate interest in mission. There's a lot of young people in this room. There's a lot of middle-aged people in this room. There's some older people in this room. Last year, we had a retired couple go out to the mission field. They retired from their jobs. They said, well, we've got a pension. Why don't we go live out our lives somewhere else and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? So they're now in the Philippines sharing the great news of the gospel in their retirement years. The Lord is calling all to engage in mission. And then we also equip both potential as well as current missionaries. We have every year a missions orientation program, which actually is coming up here shortly in a little over a month. So the first week in June is our missions orientation program out in Pennsylvania. If any of you are considering the mission field or would like to learn more, this is training given by expert individuals who used to be on the mission field, some that are still on the mission field and come back to participate as teachers in this orientation program. And then we encourage, we serve, we advise missionaries and leaders in the local church with regard to overseas missions. All right, I'm starting to see some of your eyes glaze over. I'm not sure if that's the lack of coffee or I'm droning on too much, but one more example, and then we'll go to a video, right, kids? So don't get too antsy on me. So another example of how the Lord has used CMML in mission work is with regards to disaster relief funds. Now, we're not a humanitarian organization. That's not our purpose. You remember what our vision is? Uh-oh, we need to start again. All right, we're just going to go right. No, I'm kidding. So our vision is to advance the spread of the gospel globally. And we see the Lord doing that through disaster relief opportunities. Now, can we go feed everyone that's hungry in the world? No. Can we go rebuild houses for everyone who has lost a home? No. Can we provide housing for all the homeless in the world? No. However, the Lord has enabled us in very specific situations where he has provided the means necessary to, through disaster relief, spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you two stories that are going on right now with this regard. One is in Ukraine. I believe you all know the situation that's happening in Ukraine. And this video is going to share a little bit about what the Lord has enabled his church to do through the last year. So it was a little over a year ago that we started. The Lord has used in tremendous ways. I trust that as you hear those stories, it warms your heart to see how the Lord is transforming lives through a very, very difficult situation. About a year after that started, you probably saw on the news, at least for a day or two, the 7.8 earthquake that struck Turkey and Syria. I'll just show you a few of the images of the tremendous destruction in this region. The before picture there is one of the few Protestant churches in Turkey. The right side of that is the same building after the earthquake, totally destroyed. In the entire country of Turkey, there's only about 8,000 to 9,000 believers. But yet these believers have jumped into action as they saw their own homes destroyed and their neighboring homes. They went into action and have been used of the Lord to provide housing, shelter for some of these that had lost their homes. These small wooden shelters are being built by the believers there, and they're able to present them to local unbelievers to give them a place to live temporarily as they rebuild their homes. It's an amazing story. This picture on the right side here, it's happened multiple times over as they finish these homes and as they invite an unbelieving family, here, this is a gift for you. And the families are so overwhelmed as they receive this gift. And as they have their first meal, they ask the believers to come into their home and share the first meal in this structure with them. And the believers are able to pray over the meal, to thank the Lord, and share the gospel with these individuals. Turkey is a very closed country. Missionaries cannot be in there freely. You can't do what we're doing in Ukraine of spreading literature around. That's not allowed. But yet, as these small aids are done, the believers are enabled to create relationships and share the gospel with these individuals. My time is quickly running out, but the disaster relief is another area in which CMML has been enabled by the Lord to provide aid. I'd like to share another video with you that will give you a glimpse of some of the new focus that we're taking these years at CMML. Over the last 102 years, the Lord has used us greatly to reach many of the easy access countries. The hard access countries have been onesie-twosie, you know, as certain missionaries have gained access to these countries. But as a general sense, over the last 100 years, the Lord has done mighty work in the reached now countries of the world. And now there still continues to be much. As always, time is my enemy. I'm reminded of that every morning as I look into the mirror. But I'd like to just take the last few minutes that I have to challenge you along these lines that this video has just done. You know, for the last 100 years, many professional missionaries have been sent out to the field. And the Lord has used them tremendously. And yet, as we consider the unreached areas of the world, These countries are not going to allow professional missionaries to come in. It's becoming more and more difficult to get into these areas. And yet, the Lord continues to enable today. You heard the 18% that are in the 1040 window. Most of them have gone in not as missionaries. They don't go knocking on the door of the country saying, hey, I'm a missionary, can I come in? Well, they come in as business individuals. They go in as professionals. So my challenge to you today, I'd like to leave with you is, you might say today, will I go? Well, I don't see the Lord using me as a professional missionary. What I'd like to ask you is, will you be a missional professional regardless of where the Lord has you? I'm guessing that many of you in this room are professionals in a series of different areas of business. Each one of those are needed in the 1040 window. And if you were to go fulfill your profession in the 1040 window, the Lord could use you in this great mission of the continued spread of the gospel. If the Lord wouldn't have you go, will you, as we've read in 2 Corinthians, will you join in helping together in prayer for those that are going? Will you support them on a daily basis? Pick up a handbook if you don't have one and pray for them every day of the month, that the Lord enable them, use them for the spread of the gospel, that He protect them in very dangerous areas many times. And the Lord must give them discernment to know how to share the gospel, when to share the gospel, as they're surrounded by neighbors and co-workers that do not know. Will you pray? And will you participate financially in the ongoing work of these individuals as the Lord uses them in these foreign lands? And brothers and sisters, the mission field has come to us as well. If you haven't noticed, this country has now been overrun by refugees and immigrants. And many might say, oh, that's terrible. I say, no, it's wonderful. The mission field has come to our own back door. Do you realize that you're surrounded here by many unreached people groups? These ones that when they were in their country, we could not share the gospel, but yet here, we're free to share the gospel with them. Will we go next door? Will we go across the street? Will we speak up in the supermarket line to share the gospel and befriend these individuals so that we can? Brothers and sisters, what role would the Lord use you in His great mission? Father, I just pray that as we've shared for these brief moments this morning about the marvelous things that You are doing, this is Your work, Father. It's not our work. But we are only co-laborers. We are ambassadors. Father, I do not understand why You would use someone such as me to be Your ambassador. But Father, would You enable us to be clear, crystal clear lights, reflections of Your pure light, Your love to the world around us? Father, the early disciples were recognized because they'd been with Jesus. Father, as we experience the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, as we spend time with You, Father, may the world be turned upside down yet again with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you do it again in our generation? Will You use us, I pray? Father, use this local body to impact the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.